O God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us so that the words we are about to hear will become the word of God for us this day. Help us to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church with our eyes open and our hearts as well. Amen. Before we turn to the gospel, we first hear from the prophet Isaiah, written to a people longing for hope and renewal. This passage introduces God's servant, one who comes not with force or noise, but with gentleness, justice, and faithfulness. Isaiah gives us a picture of what God's chosen one will be like long before Jesus steps into the waters of the Jordan. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison who sit in the darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Today, we find ourselves standing on the banks of the Jordan River, watching something that feels a little surprising. Jesus comes to John to get baptized. The gospel passage today is rich with imagery, imagery that becomes the cornerstone of who Jesus is. From the very beginning, Jesus shows us a life shaped by humility and humbleness. He eats with outcasts. He touches the unclean. He teaches women. He lowers himself in the eyes of the culture and society of his time. He doesn't ask where someone comes from, what they look like, or what they've done. He meets people where they are with compassion. Even those who betray him, even those who will one day call for his death. In the coming weeks, as we journey from the manger to the cross, I invite you, no matter who is up here speaking, to listen not only for the moments when Jesus reveals him as the Son of God, but also for the compassion that marks every step along the way. The gospel today comes from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw God's Spirit descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from the heavens said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus comes to the Jordan to be baptized by his cousin John. And I imagine John looking at him absolutely incredulously. I should be coming to you to be baptized, not you coming to me. And I imagine Jesus just smiling at him, maybe placing a hand on John's shoulder in camaraderie, like John should be in on some kind of scheme or joke. Not arguing, not explaining, just quietly insisting. John would sigh, shake his head, and finally says, "Okay, I'll do it." And there, in that ordinary river, Jesus wades into the water. What's striking is that Jesus does not need to be washed. He does not need repentance. He does not need to be made new. And yet, he chooses to stand where sinners stand. He chooses to receive what we receive. He chooses to be fully immersed in the human story. From the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus does not place himself above humanity. He steps fully into it. And then the heavens open. The Spirit descends like a dove, and a voice says, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." It doesn't say what kind of voice that was. It doesn't say if it was a booming voice that shook the trees and put ripples in the water, or if it was a quiet, confident statement. In my thoughts, and I have thought about this passage quite a few times, as a parent, I think the voice would be one full of pride. It's the voice of a parent maybe boasting just a teensy bit about their son. This right here is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. This is a proud papa moment to me. I think of the times my kids scored a goal or made a shot or landed a gymnastic skill that she's been working on so hard. And I stand up and I cheer and I say, "That's my kid." But notice what hasn't even happened yet. Jesus hasn't yet preached a sermon. He hasn't yet healed the sick. He hasn't yet fed the hungry. He hasn't yet gone to the cross. And yet, God speaks love first. God is already a proud parent. This is what it means to be washed and made new. Not because we have earned it, but because God chooses it. In preparing my sermon, I typically read over the passage a few times. Sometimes I'll listen to other people read it, just to hear where they put their inflections into it. This time, when I was reading it, I was in the middle of a type of moment I'm really trying to work on. My son was playing a handheld video game, and my daughter was writing a research project at the dining room table on polar bears. I wanted their attention, and I want to teach them scripture more often. So I asked them to stop what they were doing for a minute and let me read them something. I didn't tell them what it was or why I was reading it. My daughter, who's 10, stopped what she was doing and listened. My son had paused his game, not quite the better listening skills at 8. Actually, 8 today. It's his birthday. But I read the Matthew passage. I tried explaining a few words and places as I went, what the Jordan was and what words like consent means. My son looked at me and said, "Mom, I'll be honest, I don't have a clue what you just said." I asked my daughter, and she said, "Well, kind of." And they asked me to read it again. So I did. My son, love his little ADHD heart, still had no clue and was more focused on his game. But my daughter looked at me and said sincerely, "That's beautiful." I said, "What do you think is beautiful about it?" And she said, "The part where the heavens open and the light shines down on him. That sounds really pretty." I told her, "I agree, it does." She said she imagined the clouds parting and a giant ray of sunlight shining down on Jesus, and she just sat there in awe. I wanted to tell her I think we'll all see that one day when we are called home, but I wasn't quite ready for those conversations yet. The point is, even with a very basic understanding, this scripture is beautiful and full of hope and grace and love. As Presbyterians, we recognize one baptism. Not because the water is magic, not because the moment is perfect, but because baptism is God's action before it is ours. In baptism, God makes a promise that does not depend on our memory, our maturity, or our ability to keep it. Whether we were baptized as infants or later in life, the promise is the same. You belong, you are claimed, and you are loved. Being washed and made new does not mean we never fail again. It does not mean we never struggle or doubt. It means that grace goes deeper than our mistakes. It means we do not need to be rewashed every time we fall short. We are invited instead to remember, to return to the waters in our hearts and live from that identity. And that matters deeply because we live in a world full of chaos and constant noise. TVs hum, phones buzz, sirens wail, engines roar, notifications demand attention. Even the quiet seems crowded now, filled with the low crackle of electricity and the glow of screens that never quite turn off. The world is very good at telling us who we should be and what we should accomplish, and how we measure up. But baptism tells a different story. In the waters, God says what the world cannot and will not say. You are my beloved. Not because you earned it, not because you proved it, not because you got it right. Simply because God loves you. Jesus leaves the waters of baptism and goes straight into the wilderness. Being washed and made new did not spare him from hardship, but it does ground him in who he is when hardship comes. And that is the same for us. Every time we choose humility over pride, compassion over fear, love over indifference, we are living out what it means to be washed and made new. Every time we extend grace in a harsh world, we remember the promise spoken over us. Jesus' life continues just as it begins, immersed in love, shaped by humility, and poured out for others. His baptism is not just a moment in the story. It is the beginning of a pattern for the life that follows. As we continue this journey from the manger to the cross, may we remember our baptism, not as a past event, but as a present truth. May we live as a people who have been washed and made new. And may we hear, even in the noise of the world, the voice that still calls us beloved. Please pray with me. Holy Redeemer, help us to remember our own baptisms, whether we were babies, adults, or anywhere in between. Let the font waters that graced our head fill our hearts and remind us that we truly are your children, brought by love, sustained in grace, and forgiven through Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.